about the love of Jesus. I do. Yes, I do. Sing it again. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? Oh, sing it now. About the love of Jesus, I do, yes, I do.
When I was searching, He sought me out.
Oh, yes.
He gave me answers, took away my doubts. When I was struggling to find
thank you, Lord.
Sent to me from the throne, the song of love and grace.
Oh, anybody know about the grace of Jesus?
Grace of Jesus.
Lord, I do. Yes, I do. Anybody know about the grace of Jesus? I do, yes I do.
He came and broke the chains of sin and death and hell.
Hallelujah.
Said that I could use His name.
Thank you, Lord.
To defend myself.
Oh, let's stay and
His
sing
power
about it.
Is my constant source of help.
Tonight. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know about Him tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God tonight. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will. Let's sing a little bit more of that tonight. Sing your second verse. Thank you, Lord. Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
I do.
I'm glad I do.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'd rather be here than anywhere else I can think of tonight. How about you? This is a privilege that a lot of folks around the world would love to have your privilege of being right here tonight. So let's take advantage of it. We're going to have a good time. The Lord's going to, He's going to give us something good here tonight. He never fails to give us something good, does He? Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request. Brother Randy Gisendander, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Sister Sylvia Barham says to please continue to remember her Aunt Margaret Peters. Her bone cancer is spreading and she is in very much pain. Thank you for your prayers and may God bless you. So we just commit that need unto our Lord tonight. Ask God to help that lady in cancer situation. Sister Linda Jablonski says, a lady in the doctor's office, ask our church to pray for her daughter Jessica and an unborn child. She lost one previously and the doctor is concerned over the heartbeat of this child. So let's pray that the Lord would just help her in this situation. Sister Raylee Shepherd says she wants to thank you for your prayers, calls, visits while I was in the hospital. The heart catheterization showed an abnormal heart valve. However, the condition of the valve was not enough to account for the severity of my symptoms. I was released from the hospital with oxygen and will be continuing my medical workup with testing of my lungs. Please continue to pray for me during this time, Sister Raylee Shepherd. So we'll certainly remember our sister in prayer tonight. Brother Jackie Tipton wants us to remember Sister Sherry in prayer. He isn't feeling well and unable to be in the service tonight. Also, Glenda's sick tonight. If you would remember her in prayer. Sister Teresa Lawson wants us to remember her sister and her family. Her husband passed away yesterday. So let's remember those folks as they go through this time. Please pray for Brother Joel Moyer, his wife Rachel and their family for many needs. God certainly knows all about it. I want to pray for Brother Tracy, spirit and body, that the Lord would just encourage him and give him a touch of healing in his body. We know God's able to do that, don't we? Amen. Also want to remember Brother Joe Jackson's family, Brother Joe and his family in prayer tonight. Unexpectedly, suddenly lost his father. I believe they're having his services tomorrow. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that's right, tomorrow. Brother Joe Jackson's father passed away, and I believe that service is going to be either in Arkansas or Missouri. So let's certainly pray for that family tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Also, there was a couple of young people killed in Bristol yesterday afternoon in a car wreck, classmates of our grandson Peyton and Bryce. They went to school with them, two young men, one 17, one 15, killed instantly in a car wreck. So remember those folks, as you know how fast your life can change from Friday morning till Saturday morning. What you could go through and not have a clue what's going to happen to none of us next. But we want our future to be in the hands of Jesus Christ. That's what we want more than anything else in the world, is to be ready to leave at any moment or any time, because we don't know when it's going to happen. But I'm glad we've got hope. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Brother Randall, if you'll come, lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these prayer requests. We just commit it all unto the Lord tonight. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's just bow our heads. Eternal Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house, Lord Jesus. We're such a blessed people, Lord, to know what we know, Lord, to hear what we hear, to have been called, Lord. We just thank you for your blessings and your love and your mercy and your grace to us, Lord. Thank you for this gathering of your people tonight, Lord. I just pray for each and every need that was mentioned, Lord. There's many needs I hold in my hand, Lord. There were many needs shown by the uplifted hand, Lord. I pray for each and every one, Lord. Would you just minister to each and every one? I pray for our pastor this evening, Lord. I just pray you'd minister to him in a special way. I know he's had a rough couple of weeks, Lord. I just pray you'd minister to him, Lord. Give him that strength that he needs, Lord. Minister to each need, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as your manservant would come in a little bit, Lord, and break the bread of life, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. May we hear from you tonight, Father. May we leave here better Christians than when we came in, Lord. We ask these blessings and favors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Randy. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service from around the world, pray that this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. I'm working on a building. Somebody's working on our building, isn't he? Are you glad you're still being worked on? Not thrown out in the junkyard in the dump pile, but we're still being worked on. Every service we come, we get a little bit of paint, a few more nails here and there. We're going to be a sound structure before this is all over. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, are you awake? Look at somebody else and say, let's have some church here tonight. Praise the Lord. Now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, it's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Sing it again. Working on a building. I'm working on a building. Another song tonight. I want you to stand while we sing this song. Get up. Get up. Get up in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing about it tonight if you will. How many of you ready to get up in Jesus' name? Praise the Lord. Get up. Get up. Get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved.
gate called Beer. The poor, they're laid there in the street.
Well,
a poor, lonely beggar who was crippled in his feet. John and Peter passed him, saw his need was bad. They had no gold or silver, but they gave him what they had.
Jesus' name, the Lord is calling daily those who will be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere.
Well,
the body seems discouraged.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Get up in Jesus' name. There's no need to go around defeated. There's too much victory laying everywhere. If you're defeated tonight, it's because you choose to be defeated. There's victory everywhere. There's victory all around you. Sing that second verse for me again, buddy.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the God in me, soldiers, to get out of those pews and take a hold of the power.
Hallelujah.
That John and Peter use.
Well, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother Harry got a special for us tonight. We're looking forward to hearing that. And we'll go right on into the service. Somebody say praise the Lord.
How special it'll be. got much voice left, but Brother Joe Harrod asked me to sing this song a while back. And it's a day that we're all looking for. There's a stirring in the throne room. All creation holds its breath, waiting now to see the bridegroom, wondering how the bride will dress. She wears white, and she knows she's undeserving. She bears the shame of history, but this worn and weary maiden is not the bride that he sees. She wears white, head to toe. Only he can make it so. When someone dries your tears, when someone wins your heart and says you're beautiful, when you don't know you are, when all you've longed to see is written on his face, when love has come and finally set you free, on that wedding day. She has danced in golden castles. She has crawled through beggar's dust. But today she stands before him, and she wears his righteousness. She will be who he adores. This is what he made her for. When someone dries your tears, when someone wins your heart and says you're beautiful, when you don't know you are, when all you've longed to see is written on his face, when love has come and finally sets you free, on that wedding day, when the hands that bear the only scars in heaven touch her face, and the last tears that she'll ever cry are finally wiped away, and the clouds roll back as he takes her hand and walks her through the gate. Forever we will reign. When someone dries your tears, when someone wins your heart and says you're beautiful, when you don't know you are, when all you've longed to see is written on his face, and love has come and finally set you free. His love has come and finally set you free on that wedding day.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you happy to be saved tonight?
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
On your way to heaven? Looking for a body change. Good. Brother David Siler is going to be coming and speaking for us tonight. We look forward to see what the Lord's placed on his heart. He's giving me a little preview before I come out. Sounds like we're in for some good eating tonight. Amen. Let's just open our hearts to the Lord. I appreciate you continue to pray for me. Continue to do so. His kidney stone still ain't out of there yet. I told Carol yesterday, the kidney stone is saying, I shall not be moved. But my faith is saying back to that kidney stone, you've got to move, you've got to move. Praise the Lord. Amen. So your faith, say it with me. God bless you. Let's sing together Amazing Grace, and we'll invite Brother David to come out. The Lord is so mindful of us tonight, isn't he? All of the needs. No doubt you've come to church tonight with different things on your heart, different needs in your life and your family. But we enter into this place, we realize in his presence, there's peace, there's joy, there's deliverance, there's healing. For whatever burden that you brought with you, he's here to help you. Amen. Let's sing it together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh yes, Lord. A wretch like me, thank you, Lord. Oh, I was so blind, but now I can see. Through many dangers, through many dangers, falls and snares.
Once again now, yes, it is amazing grace, how sweet, oh, the sound, I know that it saved a wretch like me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we was blind, but you opened up our eyes. We was lost, but Lord, you knew where we was at. You come down where we was, and you have brought us back by your grace and mercy. Lord, I have no doubt it's because of your amazing grace tonight, Lord. And we want to tell you how much we love you, how much we appreciate you, Lord, what you have done for us. Lord, you have called us out of darkness into this great end time message. How thankful, Lord, that you have called us by name tonight. And Lord, we've responded by the word of God. We're asking that tonight that you would just come, Lord, and may you move among us. May you take the word of life and may you just break it, Lord. You know every need. You know every heart tonight. So we just look to you and ask, Father, that you would just anoint us freshly by the word of God. Lord, any man that has the ability that can read this Bible, they can read the word. But we want the Holy Spirit to come and anoint that which we read and make it real to us. Lord, we don't want to just come to have church and to preach. Lord, it's more than that. We want to see a move of God. We want you to take your bread, break it to us as you did many years ago, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with us to the book of Job chapter 38, I want to look at verse 1. Here about a month ago, we was speaking on a little subject that the Lord had given us on developing the picture. And if the Lord would just help us and you'll just bear with me, I would like to just carry that thought on tonight and maybe look at maybe just a little bit different angle than what we looked at last time. But I want to use this scripture of the book of Job, chapter 38. I want to look at verse 1. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is it that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. Answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who had laid the measure of, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Amen. I like to speak on developing the picture, and I want to just give you this definition of development. It means to cause to grow, become more mature, to advance or convert to a new purpose, to construct or convert to improve existing resources, start to exist or experience or possess, to form into, to bring out the capabilities, glory, and possibilities, bring to a more advanced, effective state. To undergo development means to, as like a photograph, a photographic film, developing the picture. May the Lord add his blessing to read the words. You may be seated this evening. God bless you. Certainly count as a privilege to be back in the house of the Lord. And we just got back from Czech Republic over by the Poland border just this week. And Lord, just give us some tremendous meetings, but ain't no place like home. Amen. I want to begin with this quote of foundation that we have looked at, but I'll give it to you out of the question and answers. 1964, Brother Brown is referring to a picture that God took of you. And he said the picture is the main thing. The resurrection, those gases, acids, things come right back to the place and develops the picture again. This picture was not taken when you were 16 or 18 or 20 years old at your best. But when was it taken? It was taken before the foundation of the world, and it was put in God's great file. And then the only thing it did was it featured itself here for you to make your choice. And then you become a servant of God, him foreknowing it, makes him a redeemer, and we've been through it. Then the picture is absolutely, see, this is the negative. The negative part of life is where you're living at now. We can all say amen. And anything, if there's a negative, there's got to be a positive before there can be a negative. Therefore, if this negative, there's only got to be a positive somewhere. And this ain't the real thing. This is only a foreshadow of the real thing that is to come. Now you got it. We are looking at this development, this picture that must come to development. Brother Ram said, if there is a positive, if there's a negative, there's got to be a positive. He told us if there is a tree that's dying, it's a sign that somewhere there's a tree that is alive. He tells us if the flower dies, that's just a sign that somewhere there's a flower that cannot die. If this world is falling apart, that's a sign to us there's a world somewhere that cannot fall apart. Remember, the world was framed by the Word of God. But if you take the Word out of the world begins to fall apart. Now, the kingdom of this world is falling apart. But that gives us evidence that somewhere there's a kingdom that's not been made by man. There's a kingdom that cannot fall. There's a kingdom that can't be annihilated. There's a kingdom that cannot fail. If this body gets sick, that's a sign there's a body somewhere that cannot get sick. Hallelujah. I'm talking about that body that Paul picked up in 2 Corinthians where he said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved. He said, we have a tabernacle. Amen. We have a body that's eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Think of it. Brother M said, in God's mind, we was there as a attribute of God in his mind. We was there as a thought. Before there was ever stardust, we was in his mind. Before there was ever a moon, we was in his mind. Before there was ever a sun, we was already in the mind, the very thoughts of God. Paul said that you was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That word chosen means handpicked. God handpicked you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He handpicked you before the world ever began. Oh, you take that word handpicked, it means to look at the tree. And you're looking at fruit all over the tree. But there's one specific fruit that you want, so you handpick that one fruit. It's not that the rest of them's bad, but that's the one you chose. And Paul said you was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So we was in his mind. We was in his thoughts. We was attributes. We was associated with God. Before time ever began, our names was associated by blood on that Lamb's Book of Life. We were associated with him before sin was ever introduced. Don't miss that tonight. Before sin was ever introduced, you was already a thought in his mind. When God took a picture of you, he didn't take a picture of you in sin. He didn't take a picture of you in your mistakes. He didn't take a picture of you faulting your failures. He took a picture of you before there was ever any sin, before unbelief ever came. He took a picture of you. Glory. We was there in his mind. We was there as an attribute in his mind. We was in his thoughts. Therefore, nothing can change the thoughts that was in God's mind. Sin can't change God's image that he has of you. Failures can't change the image that God has of you. Sin can't change the image that God has of you. The devil can't change the image. Hallelujah. He can't change that picture that he's already took of you. Before the world ever began, nothing can change that picture. Hallelujah. The fall did not change God's image that he had of you. Now remember, when God took a picture of you, in order to take a picture, the camera must have a flash. Glory. So when God took a picture of you, he took a picture of you in light before the world ever began. Light actually captured that image of you. You weren't captured in darkness. You weren't captured in Laodicea. You was captured in that light that was there in the beginning. You was there in that light. When God began to express, the Bible said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our photograph, our reproduction of what we are. That image was word image. Logos. Theophany. Word that can't fail. Let us make man in our image. What God began to do was, when he spoke his word, the word that he spoke, let there be this and let there be that. Remember when God spoke it, he didn't say let there be seed. Because within God's word, the word is the seed. Because the spoken word is the original seed. Hallelujah. That God allowed the earth to come. Every seed had laid here. It had laid upon the earth. But the problem is that the earth was covered with darkness. Oh, hallelujah. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. So God had to move the earth and allow it to come into the presence of the light in order to develop. Hallelujah. Every seed that was on there had to come to development to produce what it was. That proves to us God had a picture of a tree that would not fall. God had a picture of a world without sin. Not only did God have thoughts, those thoughts was real. Not one day going to be real. They was already real. Smyrna church age. Barham said he never had a new thought about anything. Because all his thoughts he's always had. And always will have. He knows the end from the beginning because he's God. The thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They're eternal. They are real. And so therefore time can't change the eternal. If you catch a revelation of that tonight, to realize your faults, your mistakes, your shortcomings, time can't change eternity. See, Brother Ram said they're not simply like a man of blueprint drawn up, which would one day be translated into substance and form. They're already real and eternal. They're a part of God. See, it shows how God works. God always had his thoughts. Listen to this. He always had his thoughts for Adam. Adam was in his thoughts yet unexpressed. He quotes Psalms 139 and he said, see, as I said, that wasn't written about Adam, but it gives you the idea, the knowledge that there was in his mind. That thought was eternal and had to be expressed. Or if you will tonight, it had to be developed. God's thoughts must become underneath a development process to produce what God had in his mind. So when Adam formed out of the dust of the earth, his spiritual being created by God, Adam became God's thought expressed, and those eternal thoughts were now manifest. So when God brought Adam upon the earth, there was no negative. There was no negative. It came from positive God to the positive earth because there was no sin yet. Therefore, there was no negative production yet. Hallelujah. Because without notice, before time, there was only positive. When there was no time, God only had positive thoughts. Positive thoughts existed in his mind. And what God did was, he just expressed from the invisible to the visible. He expressed himself from the unseen to the seen. That's why God said, let us make man in our image. See, the image was a word. But notice, he created Adam, both male and female, living in one body. Why? In the beginning, you was a part of God. Like Eve was a part of Adam, you was a part of God. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But don't you understand that's why Brother Brown preached the message of the invisible union? It's because the negative can only be developed once it comes into a union with an invisible God. The negative, once the negative come, it had to be developed then. Do you see it tonight? When Adam was here, he was a full expression of God's mind. He's a full expression of God's image, God's likeness. He was God in every detail. I just love that tonight. He thought like God. He walked like God would walk. He looked the way God would look, like a man. He was sinless like God. No mistakes, no shortcomings. And within Adam was his wife Eve, but her name's woman because she's a part of him. She was in him. How can I say it? A perfect union. I said a perfect relationship. The perfect couple. She was in him, yet she was still invisible. Now, it was an invisible union. It was an invisible union. In this union was perfect, no sin, no unbelief, no negatives. Adam looked at her and said, you're flesh of my flesh. You're bone of my bone, spirit of my spirit, life of my life. See, she was an exact reproduction of what Adam was in every facsimile. You believe that? See, the negative didn't come into existence until the woman become visible. Once she come out of Adam from the invisible to the visible, after she became visible, the fall took place. See, and since that day, when she became visible, she had a union. And that union with the serpent is what caused the negative here. Since that day, we've been living in the negative. Because of a visible union with the serpent. Glory! We've been living in the negative ever since that day. It caused every person born after that union, every man, every woman, every girl born after that union was born with a negative on the outside. You want to know why you get down? Because you got a negative around you. You want to know why you got trouble? You got a negative around you. And that negative has got to become subject to the Word of God. Every person born at the fall was born with it. Abraham was born with it. Moses was born with it. Moses had a temper. He had a negative. Preach, Brother David. Isaac had a negative. All the prophets and sages had negatives. The Bible tells us, and even Brother Bram tells us in the Message Life story, this is just the negative. The shadow. And someday, death shall develop the picture. It depends on what side of Calvary you live on. It depends on how that quote comes into effect on you. Hallelujah, somebody. Because if you're the bride living in the end time, there's a promise according to the type of Enoch, the seventh from Adam. There's a group of people that shall not taste the death. That don't mean you're not going to die, because spiritually you died to the world. The death shall develop the picture. I'm going to say it again. I want you to catch this tonight. Death shall develop the picture from the negative to the positive. Again, in Christ 1955, if I see my shadow on the wall, I can pretty near tell what I'm going to look like when the negative and the positive comes together. See, the Old Testament was just a shadow of the new. Again, he tells us, I would just love to get together for a complete winter's vacation sometime just on the Old Testament and teach all those little things. But we'd have such a marvelous time, see, showing the shadow, the types and so forth, bringing out those old nuggets and shining them up, what they really are, what they was meant to those people in type. We all, what it ought to mean to us in the anti-type, what they done with it under the law. Hallelujah. What could you and I do with it? Notice he said today, under the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if they had the shadow, we got the positive. They had the negative, we got the positive. They had the picture in a negative, but we got it in the positive. After it's been developed, watch this thought. After it's been developed at Calvary, we went to Calvary with the Lamb. You see, the perfect couple was one person. His name is Jesus Christ. And when he went to Calvary, I went there with him. When he went to the beaten post, I went there with him. I was identified in that second Adam. Glory to God. Every reader of the Bible knows that all death can do is just put a spook or a shadow before you. It cannot hold you. Hallelujah. Christ burst forth all those thunders of darkness and freed those that were in the paradise and the shadows. Notice what it done. The development of death freed those that was in the shadows, entering into the positive now in the presence of God our Father. So because of Calvary, it took every negative of the Old Testament. It took every person's negative of the Old Testament and it developed it into a positive. Glory. Because they come through Calvary, it developed the picture. It takes away temper. It takes away lust. It takes away pride. It takes away unbelief. It takes it away. It produces the image that God had in his mind before the world ever began. Why? It went through the blood. Understand, their mistakes could not go past the dark room. Their shortcomings couldn't filter through the dark room. The dark room, Brother Bram said, was Calvary. But when you come through Calvary, Calvary has the power of transformation behind it. It can transform the film from the negative right to the positive. The same way unbelief transformed it to a negative is the way faith has the power to transform it back to the positive. The dark room is Calvary. Brother, there's no bypassing it. Every negative had to go through it. There's no getting around it. You realize, friend, look at Abraham. Everything that Abraham did had to be run through the dark room. Everything that he ever done had to be caught. It was caught on that negative, and the negative caught it. But it had to go through Calvary. Abraham lied. Hallelujah, somebody. Genesis 16 and 17. You go back and you'll find out Abraham lied right to the face of God. His negative made a mistake. Amen. Sarah laughed and lied. She deserved death. And Butler said, oh God, had it not been that she was a part of Abraham, God would have killed her. All those things was done through the negative. But you see, God made a way to put it through the dark room. Hallelujah. And when you run Abraham through that dark room, when he comes to the other side, he don't say nothing about him making a mistake. He don't say nothing about him lying. He don't say nothing about him going before that king. Once you run Abraham, brother and sister, that's good for Abraham, but what about you and me? Do not we need to go through a dark room to be changed and transformed by the grace of God? See, God literally pulled his negative into that dark room. And when you come on the other side of the blood, there's no lying. David never committed adultery. Think about it. Sarah never made a mistake. Noah never got drunk. Hallelujah. Why? God cares about those negatives. God simply just can't forget about them because they made mistakes. God can't forget about them because they come up short. He can't forget about them because they lied. Matter of fact, God cannot annihilate it because it is an eternal thought of God. So he made a way to take it from the negative and bring it back to the positive. Oh my, I feel like preaching Hebrews. Amen. That's why Hebrews 10 said, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices. Talking about animals, bloods of bulls and goats offered year to make the comers there too perfect. In other words, those animals cannot make that negative a positive. In those sacrifices, verse 3, there is no remembrance again made of sins, but every year. For it's not possible that the blood of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. I don't want the blood of a goat. I don't want the blood of a lamb. I don't want the blood of, come on somebody, but a body thou hast prepared me. He's talking about a body. He's talking about something that's real. A body thou hast prepared me. God ain't got no pleasure. God can have no fellowship under just burnt offerings. Because in a year it's going to come back. It could push it forward, but it couldn't take it away. Don't you see why that's so important? It could only take it from time to time. Do you see it, church? It only goes from one time element to another time element. But because you're not creatures of time, you're creatures of eternity. God, hallelujah, he had to make a way to take it from time and bring it right back to eternity again. Then said I, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Moses. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written to me to do thy will, God. What is he talking about? I'm going to come forth and I'm going to go through the dark room. By the which we have all sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ. Think about that, church. Jesus himself, according to the message, who is this Melchizedek? Jesus himself was an attribute of God. He's Redeemer. He's Father. He's Savior. He's Healer. Hallelujah. He was a thought in God's mind. Because the fall came between a union of a woman disbelieving the word. In order to develop the picture properly, Jesus had to come through a woman. That attribute of what he was had to pass through Mary. Do you see what I'm saying? In order to develop a way to bring back every negative, Jesus, glory. He had to go through the dark room of a woman. He had to go through a dark space of time. Mary believed the word. Eve disbelieved the word. Because the fall came by a woman. In order to correct the fall, to bring it back, God's got to do it through a woman. So that attribute, oh friends, don't think it's strange. That attribute passed through a woman. You know why I don't think that's strange? Because I know another attribute passing through another woman. Her name's the bride of Jesus Christ. And God's got attributes living on the inside of your body that He's passing through you. That's why when Jesus come, He was born. See, when you got here, you bypassed your theophany. But Jesus never bypassed His. Amen, somebody. That's the reason He could stand out there and say He was without sin. Who can accuse me of sin? Who can show me where my negative is at? Who can show me where my mistakes is at? Because the developed image of God came in a perfect body called Jesus. His picture had no flaws. This picture had no miscoloration. This picture had no mistakes. This picture had no faults. This, glory to God, this picture had no shortcomings. It came the very way that God intended for it to come. From positive to positive. I'm talking about the same one who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the very one where that theophany, that word, come down and picked up 16 elements out of the earth and created a body and stepped into that body. And He went and talked to Abraham and Sarah and told them what they done. Hallelujah. Don't you see why you need this message? Because when the word comes through Melchizedek, it gives them the revelation that they're going to have a son. Think about it. It give them the revelation. They're going to be turned back young again. Brother and sister, this message is more than just doctrine. This message is more than a denomination. It's more than just another church sitting on the side of the road. This message is the light that God uses to develop, hallelujah, the full picture of the Word of God in your life and in my life. Listen, there ain't no other church that can produce it. There ain't no other message that can produce it. It took the evening light to take you and develop you back to what you always was. Hallelujah. Amen. Young people, you don't realize what you got being in this message. You didn't just happen to be born in just another church. This ain't just another church you go to. People wonder why you travel so far to get to this church. Why in the world? I'll tell you why. You bypass Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, because you come to get under that evening light. Something that'll develop you back to that original image of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering He perfected forever. It's just too much, man. Them that are sanctified. And He give you a Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is a witness that you're not your own. You've been bought by a price. And you've got the evidence on the inside of you. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days. I'll put my laws into their hearts and their minds. I'm going to write them. But I've got something greater than law. I got something greater than their time bodies. I got something greater than their negatives, their sins and iniquities. Will I remember no more? He's telling you whatever you was in the negative, He puts it in the sea of His forgetfulness, and He came to remember the thing that you done. Because it's negative. It's negative. It's negative. Abraham had a lot of negative. Amen, somebody. But he had to move from the negative to the positive. But listen, a goat couldn't do that for him. Amen, somebody. It only made him bearable. Glory to God. You just come to church and sit on a pew, all you're doing is making things bearable. But there ain't been no change yet. You can sit around this message for 40 years. But brother, let me tell you, that only makes you bearable. You can pack a Bible, that makes you bearable. You can pack this message under your arm, that makes you bearable. But if you ever find your identification laying within the word of the hour, within the message of this day, you will become a changed creature from time back to eternity. You're starting to see the way I believe this message. Amen. Abraham made mistakes. Amen. He fell short. Be honest, somebody. I read that old negative. I read everything you ever done wrong. Brother Abraham said God didn't save Abraham because he was such a good man. God didn't help. God didn't do something for Abraham because he's better than somebody else. The reason God chose Abraham because Abraham was elected. It ain't because you dress better. It ain't because you make more money. It ain't what church you go to. It's what you was a part of before the foundation of the world. It's what you always was. It ain't what you are. It's what you was. My Bible tells me in Romans 4:19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead. When God came before him, you know what Abraham did? He laughed right in the face of God. He said, how in the world am I going to have a son? How is Sarah ever going to produce a son in our old age? God never even moved. Sarah shall have a son. Indeed. You know what that tells me? That Abraham, like you and I, had the tendency to get his eyes on the negative. I'm coming right down your avenue, jumping in your backyard tonight. We get our eyes on the negative. How many times we prayed? How many times we read our Bible? How many times I made it to church this year? Listen, friends, it's greater than your negative. It's greater than your humanity. I'm talking about the eternal you who always believed this word. Whew. Oh, I just love him tonight. Verse 20, Romans 4:20. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving praise, giving glory to God. You know why? It's that after you take Abraham and you read him in the New Testament, the picture is different from the New Testament to the old negative. The reason, glory, the reason why is because there's a dark room lays in between them. And because there's a dark room, in order to develop the film has got to go through a dark room. And once it comes through the dark room, it develops what the picture originally was taken of. Paul never saw him laugh. He never saw him. He never saw Sarah laugh at God. He never saw Abraham laugh. He never seen him lie. He never seen Noah drunk. He only seen the positive. A dark room, Brother Rev says. Calvary developed the picture. And it developed it from a liar to a son of God who believed the promise. Listen, church, don't get your eyes caught up on the negative. Don't get your mind caught up on all these things around you. Keep your mind upon the fact that God's going to develop you. Stagger not the promise of God. I can run Hebrews 11 and I can show you man after man after man and woman after woman because they had been brought through that dark room. Oh, don't you see, friends? In order to produce a picture, the picture is taken and captured by a flash of light. Glory. But in order to develop what's been caught in the mind of God, you have to take that which has been put through the negative. Now, the negative, in order to produce the negative, what has to happen is it goes to the dark room. And there, they have chemicals that has the ability, glory, to reveal what's laying on the negative.
we find out some chemicals are light sensitive. And some people ain't. I mean, some chemicals ain't. Some chemicals can respond to the, can make the light respond the correct way. But you can't put just anybody around this. Hallelujah. Not only that, there can't be no great flashing light in there. A million more than 44. They can't be some great glowing light. It's got to be a dark room. And the only light they want is just a red light. Not green, not black, red. They call it a safety light. You call it what you want. I call it my redemption. I call it the red bleeding blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, don't you see it, friends? And what happens is this. In order for the picture to be developed, it has to come underneath this light, underneath these chemicals, and it allows the image to be exposed. If it had, listen, not every light can do it. It takes a certain kind of light. Glory. Brother, sister, don't you see? It takes the right light to produce the image back to its original. That's why you can't feed on denominational trash. That's why you can't feed on Trinitarianism. That's why you can't believe on false baptism. That's why it took the evening light to take you and restore you back to what you always was. Oh, don't you love him tonight? Well, Brother David, I made mistakes. I'm talking about the light. Well, Brother David, I have trouble. I'm talking about the development process. Don't you see it, friends? The Old Testament saints got ran through the dark room. But what's going to bring us back through the original, to that original thought? Now think about it. Death cannot destroy the image that was in God's mind. As a matter of fact, the picture can't even be distorted by sickness. It can't be distorted because of sin. Oh, hallelujah. See, friends, don't you realize Brother Abraham said that he sent the Holy Ghost back upon the church? Remember that? See, after Calvary, what took place is it moved to the grace of God. Now, in the New Testament, we find after he sent the Holy Ghost back on the day of Pentecost, Brother Abraham tells us that the seed went into the ground at Nicaea. It went down through death. And for seven church ages, we've been going through the dark room. Hallelujah. But God always had his thoughts for Adam. We've been 2,000 years living in the dark room. It went through Wesley. It went through Columba. It went through Martin. It went through the dark room all of these years. But remember, Jesus made a promise. If the seed go into the ground and die, it'll not bow to low. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. 2,000 years, the picture's been distorted. You really can't make out. Every now and then, a little light will come by, and you'll see a glimpse of justification. And then another little light come by, you see sanctification. But just because it had a small picture, that's not what God originally thought of you. It's just pieces and parts. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part is done away with. Got to have the right kind of light. So God allows it to go into the ground. And it dies. And the church has been laying there. Every now and then you'll see just a little glimpse of it. And what's Satan done? From that day forward, he wanted to add something to the picture. Glory. God would send the right word. And what Satan would do is, after that man would raise up and go off the scene, men would begin to take that man's message and add things to it. Therefore, the positive is no longer pure. He adds doubt. He adds unbelief. He added creeds. He added dogmas. He added false doctrines. He added sin. But you realize, friends, what the devil don't understand is, God still has the original. He's always had it in his hand. He's always had it with him. When Adam lost the book, hallelujah, when Adam lost the book in the beginning, it did not go into the hands of the devil. It went back into the hands of the original owner. And since that day, he's had the book in his hands. He's had the family photo album all of these years. And even though Satan tries to add something to the picture, he tries to take you through a Photoshop and add cigarettes, add diabetes, add cancer, add tuberculosis. God still has, hallelujah, he has the original what you always was. Brother and sister, there ain't nothing in time that can change that picture of the eternal. God can't change his mind about his word. Whew. No wonder Brother Bram said when the deep calls to the deep, there's got to be something to respond to that call. If there's a man here in a body of time saying amen to the word, it's because somewhere that word body is called, glory, it's calling out your name. It's, hallelujah, it's speaking what your identity has always been. If there's an old man here believing the word, that means there's a young man somewhere else. Glory to God. That positive word overcomes all of your negative. It overcomes all of your dirt. And it responds to that word of God. Brother Bram said, when you recognize this message to be eagle food, he said, you heard from your theophany, that body that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, that body that's eternal in the heavens. When you recognize the word of this hour to be eagle food, you heard from that original picture. You ain't in this building by chance. You're not in this message by chance. Come on, somebody. You're not here just because you like this message. As a matter of fact, it takes everything you've got to come. He talks up against our negatives, all of our mistakes, all of our problems. But that opens up another doorway, hallelujah, to a body that will never have sickness or problems or trouble. A body that's real. And I'm saying God saw you. God saw me preaching this message. And he heard you say amen to it. He said, this is just the negative. That's a picture. It's an uncertain sound. The negative is waiting to be developed someday. And death is the only thing that can develop it. What's the statement? When you die out to yourself, a new picture starts. Where? On the inside. Glory to God. Beneath skeletal system, muscles, a heartbeat, lungs, kidney, inside of you, there's a little gene seed of God laying in you. And once you really receive it, it starts developing that picture. And all that new creature, Christ Jesus, begins to show itself. And one of these days, he'll come to receive you up to himself, and the whole thing will be changed. And then this negative shadow will become a positive. And shall someday, time is coming, and shall someday the headstone, watch now. He's talking about the negative meeting with the positive. And someday the headstone, Christ Jesus, in these last days, will have a ministry just exactly like his. His whole spirit, as it gets closer and closer and closer, the negative becomes so positive that after a while, the negative and positive just blends together. I just explained to you your development process. After a while, that chemical, hallelujah, of the blood of Jesus Christ begins to eat all that negative away from you, and it begins to expose that picture of what you always was. After a while, the negative positive blends together the church and Christ to make one, for we're flesh of his flesh. I've heard that somewhere. And bone of his bone. And Brother Ram says, do you believe it? It shall be light in the evening time. Now listen, amen. We're here today. not yesterday. Come on, somebody. Where the evening light is here. Where is it being preached from? The vindicated prophet standing in the pulpit. Again, he says the church has come from justification through Lutheran, sanctification through Wesleyans, into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, through the Pentecostals. It's winding up in the headstone. Hallelujah. The headstone ministry. Typing all the time right into that perfect. Right into that perfect. Not tainted, not distorted. Perfect. Typing all the time, the negative shadow will become positive. And then Jesus will come and catch this church. A man can turn on the light. Like my hand here is a shadow. It's darker as it becomes. It's the negative here. But there's a positive here. Glory. As the negative and the positive gets denser, darker, darker, darker. Finally, it just collapses together. And the negative and positive becomes one. It collapses together. Hallelujah. It just collapses together. My mind goes back to Sunset Mountain when the thunders begin to roll. Brother Brown said it sounded like a clap to him. What was going on? He's sending your original identity down to earth to the seventh angel to take that message back and to open the seven seals back in Jeffersonville. Your original identity of what you was. Glory to God. Glory. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Brother M says, don't be that rough. Don't be the rough part on it, Pentecostal brother. Shine it up with the word and believe every bit of it. Don't take the part you like and throw the part you don't like. Take the revival part. Throw away the holiness. Throw away the do's and the blends. Take all of it. Don't get out in these isms and things as we see today. Don't be astonished at that because the headstone's coming. You know what that tells me? Don't be astonished that there's people standing against it. Don't be astonished at these isms that comes up. They've got to be there. They've got to be there. I said the darkness has got to be around us to make the light shine that much brighter. He's honing us down. Oh, I love that. He said, see. He said, it's becoming one. Don't be astonished at that because the headstone's coming crying at our Father. Pretty soon, my God, yes, I believe with all of my heart. Do you see it? You see what I mean? It's Christ now taking the rags of yesterday. Hallelujah. Can I say it the way I see it? He's taking the negative of yesterday. Methodist ideal, Lutheran ideal, Pentecostal ideal, and he's bringing it right down by the headstone ministry back to the original picture. He's putting it through a process. I'm going to say it again. He's putting it through a process. What kind of a process? A process of the Holy Spirit. What they had plus. Making it till he's pressing his own image. He's pressing his own image. Let us make man in our image. And when the church in Christ becomes one in a union, there's only one form of eternal life. If you got eternal life, then you yourself was in God's thinking before the world was created. You're an attribute of his thinking causes eternal, cause eternal never did begin or never can end. I wish God would burn that in our spirit tonight. I'm talking about 5 a.m. I'm talking about at midnight when your children gives you problem. You go back and say, I'm a part of God. I'm an original thought of God. You're a part of God's economy always. It's just reflecting. It's becoming now. We got one more picture to develop. There ain't another age after this. There's not another prophet after this. There's not an 8-day messenger. Come on, somebody. There's only one more picture to develop. It's to bring back that original relationship of Adam and Eve. Not the first Adam and the first Eve, but the second Adam and the second Eve. Negative becomes positive, then you're in the bride with Christ as he thought, like husband and wife. Christ and the church will be the same. The elected, the called. Don't you see, church? That's why Brother Branham used the thought of Michelangelo and the message of the masterpiece. Because he said Michelangelo had a thought of what Moses was captured in his mind. Now, I can get a thought of what Moses looked like captured in my mind, but you give me a piece of marble. Lord Jesus. But if it ever gets in the man, glory, that has the ability to develop the original picture that he has. Listen, friends, Luther couldn't do that. Wesley couldn't do that. Pentecost couldn't do that. It took the right man. Glory! It took the right man on the scene to develop the right picture. They set that piece of marble out there. When that Pope wanted that of Michelangelo to produce that picture of Moses, it was just a piece of marble. Amen. But what Michelangelo saw wasn't a piece of marble. He saw a man, glory, trapped inside that marble. He saw an image. He saw Moses trapped inside that marble. Don't you know when he saw you, he saw his original son, his original daughter, his original thought that he had for the world to begin. He saw you trapped in this marble, this negative. He saw more than a stone. He saw more than an alcohol bottle. He saw more than a pack of cigarettes. He saw more than a divorce. Preach, somebody, help me. He saw more than my mistakes. He saw more than a dance. He saw more than a bar. He saw more than prostitution. He saw more than unbelief. He saw original thought that he had even before the world ever began. Other people can look at that marble and just see rock. Amen. You've had preachers tell you that. You'll never be nothing. You'll never make nothing. Amen. You go believe in that message, you'll never become nothing. Oh, how wrong they was. You'll never become nothing believing that message. Go ahead and follow that man. Go ahead and follow that cult. You'll never develop into nothing. Moses was always in that stone. See? Michelangelo didn't chip Moses into it. He just chipped away what wasn't Moses. He developed, friends. He developed the image. He chipped away everything that didn't look like Moses. Every part that didn't, hallelujah. He chipped away every negative away from Moses until Moses sat there on that stone. And Michelangelo had worked for years to develop it. And when he got done, Brother Ram said the inspiration of what he saw, hallelujah, becomes so real. The negative and the positive met together. And he was so inspired by what he saw. He looked at that image. He took his hammer and he struck it on the knee. And he said, speak. Speak. Why would he say speak? Because when the image gets back to its original thought, he didn't hear you quiet. He didn't hear you mute. He heard you shouting. He heard you shouting. He heard you worshiping. He heard you giving glory to God. Michelangelo said, speak. You worshiped under the original. You worshiped under the blood. Speak. 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 Why? You had a confession in the beginning. I said you had a confession. You was believing this message. You was believing the word. You always believed that original word. See where we're at. We're back. We're back being developed by an end time Michelangelo. God sent the right man with the right inspiration. The Lord descended from heaven with a shout. Hallelujah. He sent a message. And that message began to call out. And it began to call you in. And began to chip away ideas. Chip away false doctrines. Chip away Trinitarianism. Chip away Pentecost. Chip away Baptist. Chip away Methodist. Chip away Church of the Brethren. Until finally you're standing on your feet. Just as God saw you from the beginning. Then why do we stand with guilt? Why do we stand feeling lost? Saved today, lost tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. You know what you're doing? You're looking at all those pieces around your feet that this message has chipped away from you. Your trials don't change this picture. But that's just too much for me to handle. That's too much grace. All I can say is just grace, grace. You get your eyes caught up on your mistakes and your shortcomings. And when you lose your temper, listen, friends, I can tell you this. That temper is getting developed. But it's a process. I want to remind you, it's a process. It's a process. Don't get your eyes all caught up on yourself. And you see so many things is wrong. Remember that woman that came to Brother Branham just before he came out to preach? And she came to Brother Branham. She said, oh, Brother Branham, I did this wrong and I did that wrong and I've done this wrong and I've said that and I've said this and I've done that. Well, it sounds like me, don't you? And Brother Branham comes out and says, such a godly little woman. That sounds like us. That sounds like the way we sound before God. Lord, I need help with this. I need help with that. I've done this wrong. I said this wrong. I've done this wrong. And Brother Ram said, such a godly little woman. Do you know why? Because Michelangelo was looking at the other side. He knew the power of the hammer, the power of the chisel. Hallelujah. He knew the stroke of the master can take it away. You was a son before you ever had a body of sin. You was a child of God before you ever had sickness. Before there was sickness, there was a remedy. Before there was sin, there was a cure. And your picture was associated with that blood before the foundation of the world. Don't you understand, friends? That's what makes this message so special. It's because this is the only message that God sent the revelation of the masterpiece back down in the end time to reveal your original picture. He didn't send it to the Catholics. He didn't send it to the Pope. He saw it to the evening time messenger, Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 7. You know what he said? He said the seventh angel was standing there and he sent it down to the seventh angel to reveal it to the people. Don't stand condemned. Don't stand condemned. Don't stand that way. You're elected. Your book's been taken. And it's went through a developing process. How do you know? Because I read the end of the book. And it said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If we was to ask you how you done it, boy, I've had so much trouble with this and so much trouble with that, so many problems here and there. And I tell you, the word said, I overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Your name's written in that blood, in the blood of Jesus Christ, written by his own finger. And that blood is a perfect blood. And that blood took and developed you back to that original thought that God had of you. I don't care what kind of life you lived. I don't care how sorry you was. Amen, somebody. Once you get put through the blood, church, you take your past and all your problems, all your besetting sins, and you put it in that blood. Until they have finally what they call today, digital photos. You don't have to send it to Walmart and wait a week to get it back. It's called instant photos. So the later the hour you come into it, the quicker God's got to develop you. Thank you. until finally when they come together, just in an instant, God's got his picture. And then he comes down and takes those real thoughts that was in his mind. Amen. Now they're associated and the rapture takes place. He takes your theophany. He blends it back with your flesh and he makes it glorified. Now you're something he can fellowship with. Glory to God. My sister, you're not just a, you're not a reproduction. You're not some fake out here. You're the real thing. Oh, glory. Don't you see? I was looking the other day as we come through Paris there and the pictures that was on the wall. Right above it, it says, these are reprints of the original. Glory to God. And they look good. They look fine. But that ain't what I want to be. I'm a part of the original. Mm-hmm. Don't look to your side. I'm one of a kind. Some people beside you are going, yes, you are. But in the eyes of God, you are one of a kind. You can't be duplicated by any other religion. No, sir. But sister, it's got to be more than just religion. More than just going to church. It's got to become reality to you. It's more than just a man preached a message and we quote Brother Branham. It's got to be more than Brother Branham. It's got to be more than a quote in a book. It's got to be real to you. What is it? Tell me what it is. I'm quitting. Tell me what it is. What is it that strikes your heart in the midnight when your body is loathed with pain and you're so down and discouraged and you put that word on and you begin to hear that Kentucky man begin to speak the word of God and somehow deep within you it soothes you. You're hearing about your original identity. Developing the picture. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Developing the picture. I just thank God he's developing me. I thank God he's putting me through the process. Brother David, I don't like it. Lord, do it anyway. It don't feel good. Do it anyway. I know it's bringing the real me out. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you just love him tonight? Let's just bow our hearts and just pray each one together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this perfect image. We thank you, Lord, for this developing process that you've been putting us through. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, get our eyes past our negatives. Get our eyes past all of our faults, all of our problems, all of our mistakes, all of our shortcomings. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes back on that original picture. Lord, we know that sin has tried to distort the picture. Unbelief has tried to distort the picture. But my eyes look back yonder. Hallelujah. To that original image that was in your mind. Lord, I pray tonight. May we look past all unbelief and look to that original image of what we always was. Oh God, I pray tonight. Lord, help our young people to realize they've not just been birthed into a church, but they're going to a church. The word of God will literally change them in a moment. Hallelujah. In a twinkling of an eye, the word of God will change them back to what they originally was. Oh God, brood over us tonight, I pray. Oh great Holy Spirit, how we love you tonight, Father. How we love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for this evening light because the picture can't be developed just under any light. It took the evening light message. Hallelujah. It took the rotten light to be able to develop us back. And I want to thank you, dear God, for sending us Elijah the prophet. Lord, I believe that scripture's personal tonight. You've sent it back to the bride. We accept it, Lord. We claim it. We've been feeding on it for years and it's changing us. It's changing us. Day by day, that image has been developed. Oh God. Until Brother Bram said one morning, there's going to come a sweep over our house. And we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Oh God, how we long for that morning. I want to thank you tonight, Lord God. Oh Jesus, how we love you tonight. Thank you, Father, what this word means to us. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to it. Some of our families don't even believe it right. Some of them, maybe there's only one person and the whole family believes it. God chose Abraham because he was elected. Lord, it may miss here and miss there, but you have a chosen group of people. And they're going to produce that original image. Oh, thank you, dear God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. For he knew me. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Brother Harry, would you sing that for us? Oh, don't you just appreciate the grace of God tonight? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm defeated on my own. I've made mistakes and often slipped. Just common flesh and bone.
Hallelujah.
But he'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross,
let's sing it now.
Stained in crimson red, though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time when he was on the cross. That finished picture.
You remember the story when the Queen of England went to a great paper manufacturing company. They wanted to take her through the different stages and the processes of making paper. So they took her through the mills and took her through the different places. And then the manager, the director of the plant, took her into a room that had all kinds of dirty, filthy rags. They opened the doors and take her, and she said, "Ooh, what is that?" Said, "This is filthy rags." "So what do you do with that?" "We take these rags through a process and they become paper." So he thought in his mind that he wanted to do this for the queen. So they took these rags and cleansed them and took them through a process and turned the dirty, filthy rags of Pentecost and Baptist and Methodist, what would pull through the word. And then they made it into beautiful paper. and then embossed the image of the queen on that paper and sent it to her. The Lord God took our dirt and our filth and all of our rags of our unrighteousness, pulled us through the blood of Jesus, and He embossed the image, not of the queen, but of the king. And the rapture will be the presentation of this image to the king. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, let God wash us. Let Him bring us through the process. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Don't you appreciate His grace? Enjoy the word tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now you see, when Brother Branham was here, he was preaching the light and the development of photography and pictures and cameras and all that, relevant to the time that he was in. But now we're living, as Brother David said, in the digital age. So you take a picture of something on your smartphone, and then you send that picture to your daughter, your wife, your husband, whoever it is. You take it, and in a few seconds, they have it. They may be in Africa. They may be wherever. But that picture travels almost like a thought. Where in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, it couldn't do that. But guess what? Science is finally catching up with where we are. Praise the Lord! The digital age. Here we are. Praise God, the image is fixing to become faster than the speed of light. Don't you appreciate Him tonight? Oh, thank the Lord for His grace to us. Isn't it so encouraging to know that He thought of us, He loved us, cared for us so much. He put your name on His book before the foundation of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so thank You for Your word tonight, Lord. Lord, as I've looked in different ages and studied different periods of church history, we know Brother Branham wasn't the first one to preach predestination. He wasn't the first one to preach election. But is this as though Whitfield and Calvin and many of those men who even looked at it, some of them that so emphasized on it, went to seed. But there was such a need for it to be brought in the end time. And we know that the end time message will bring end time results. Father, we know now the cycle of the earth is kicking around to where it's fall equinox. And it won't be too awful many days that will go by to where the winter cycle will come in. And we know that the earth is now tilting on its axis. And as we change our clocks, and we see that the day is already getting shorter. It would be most foolish of us to go out and plow a garden and put corn and cabbage and tomatoes and peas. And it's a waste of time and a waste of money. Because the light and the cycle of the earth, the temperature, it's the wrong time. It would have been fitting to send this message in the days of Luther. But You timed this message just exactly right. So the end time message had to come at the end time, and it will produce end time results. I always thank You, Lord, that we're privileged to live in this day. We thank You for this light. We so appreciate it, Lord. I don't know that I'll ever forget it. It's been so many, many years ago. Carol and I was returning from that meeting, flying from Atlanta on a Delta Airlines jet, a Brasilia 120, or then it was a prop. And I looked out my window, and there I saw the moon and her brilliancy, how beautiful she was. And Lord, Your Spirit spoke to me and said, she is the wife of the Son. And there You gave me the sermon. Oh, Lord, and I come and shared it with Your people and took from what Brother Branham had told us about the bride that she is the wife of you as the moon is the wife of the sun. And from that, the ministry of the moon gave birth. How we thank you, Father, that we're still living. We know dealing with negative things, but yet the positive is so much more powerful in our lives. And it won't be long that this total negativity will be completely developed into the positive. And it'll be this evening-like message that people are ridiculing, making fun of. It'll be that very thing that'll change us into young men and young women. Lord, we love you. Keep us faithful. Keep us true, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your truth. We'll gather again in the morning, Lord, if it be pleasing to you, to hear once again from your great bounty. Go with your children now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, for he's still working on me. Everybody, let's sing it together now. Oh, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make. How loving and patient he must be. Oh, he's God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God.